Now, our topic today, as you can see, is what is work? So, to start off with, I thought that I'd get all of you to do a bit of work. What do you reckon? Maybe you're thinking, Sunday. Sunday's supposed to be a day of rest. Anyway, this work is pretty easy. The work that you need to do is basically to guess which soccer star is like the Pokemon character that will be named and shown up on the screen. Okay? Now, I know that all the world has been going crazy about Pokemon and the different characters. I heard that even some people went down to the park here last week to try and find some Pokemons or whatever. I've heard even that you've got to be careful where you go because, was it like two people walked off a cliff or something trying to find some Pokemon characters? Anyway, just be careful. But today, I can assure you, it's going to be safe. All right, the first Pokemon character is, you tell me. Lickitung? Okay, Lickitung. So which soccer star do you reckon looks a little bit like Lickitung? Now, I'll give you a clue. It's someone who plays for Liverpool, and he's also in the English football team. Why do you say Sturridge? When he celebrates scoring a goal. Yes, there's a bit of a likeness there, don't you think? Yes, Lickitung, also known as Daniel Sturridge. Next one. Who's that? Rattata. Right, this one I reckon should be relatively easy because look at the teeth there. Which soccer star has a habit of using his teeth? Suarez? Yeah, it's too easy, that one. Luis Suarez, you can see a bit of a likeness there, don't you think? Yep, pretty close. And the final one is a good one today. The final Pokemon character to guess is Mewtwo, right? Think about just the stance there. Cristiano? Yes, the only person that it could be is the Sultan of the Step Over himself, Cristiano Ronaldo. You reckon he looks pretty close there? Well, that work, that's your work for today, basically. Hopefully you found it wasn't too tiring, but I reckon there's probably a number of us here today who have to go out to work during the week, and sometimes that can be a bit tiring. How many of us here have to go out to work during the week? Hands up if you do. Around about 50% maybe of us here. Does that mean the rest of us don't have any work to do during the week? We just relax and have a good time? Search for Pokemons or something like this? Well, it really all depends on what we mean by work, doesn't it? Most of the time, when we think of work, I reckon most of us think of the job that we have to do in order to get money, or the job that we'll have to do in the future after we finish schooling or university that we'll go out to do in order to get some income. Now, according to the latest census figures, which are back in 2011, what do you reckon the most common occupation for Australian men and women was? Anyone want to guess? Most common job out there. Students? You normally don't get paid, though, do you, if you're a student? You do it for the love of learning, normally, if you're a student. Any ideas? This might be you, I don't know. Most common occupation in Australia for both men and women was the humble sales assistant. So that might be a bit of a surprise to you. But for men, apart from being a sales assistant, the other most common occupations were truck driver, electrician, and retail manager. For women, after sales assistant, it was general clerk, primary school teacher, and office manager. So it's a bit interesting, isn't it? I wouldn't have thought of those necessarily. Now, it's good to have a job, and it's good to get paid for doing it. All of us need to have a source of income, don't we? Or if we don't have our own personal source of income, we need to have access to a source of income, like our parents, in order to be able to live in the world. But today, I want us to realize that the biblical picture about work is more than just paid employment. Let's think about this for a little while. Now, what would you say is the most important work in the world? I reckon the most important work in the world is actually the work that's talked about in the very first verse of the Bible. Anyone remember what the very first verse of the Bible says? In the beginning. It's a good place to start, isn't it? Always start in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, when you think about it, that's God doing work, right? And in fact, that's the most important work in the whole of this universe. Not just the initial creation of the world, but God sustaining the world and also saving the world. Because without God's work of creating, sustaining, and saving the world, we wouldn't be here. Life would be impossible. Back in the beginning, God worked over 6 days giving order to the initial creation. And since making the world, he sustained the world. He steers the earth on its course through space. He sends the sunlight that we need for warmth and the growth of plant life, which in turn sustains animal life. God also provides the water that we need for life to exist and develop on our planet. And on top of all of that, God has also entered into our world in the person of Jesus to make sure that the forces of death and destruction will be defeated so that life might flourish. All of that is God's work, and I reckon we have to say that God's work is the most important work in all of the universe. But think about it here. Does God get paid for doing what he does? Back in the beginning, did someone pay God to create the world? No. God does what he does, not because of any payment, but simply because he's pro-life. As the eternally living God, he wants to share life by creating and sustaining it. God values life, and he values it so much that he would even sacrifice himself to save it. So when we think about work in terms of the bigger picture, what we find is that getting paid to do it isn't the definition of work. To give you another example, what do you reckon is the most important work that can be performed by a human being? Now, leaving Jesus out of the equation here, what's the most important work that anyone can do here on earth? Any ideas? I think there is one that we can specify. Truck driver? No, not a truck driver. Sorry for any of you who are truck drivers here. Missionary is pretty important, I guess. Maybe I should say church minister. What do you reckon? I'll take that back, because I think that the work of being a mother is probably the most important work there is to do on planet Earth. Now, apart from God's work of creating and sustaining the universe, can anything beat carrying a baby around inside you for 9 months, then giving birth to that baby and feeding and caring for the baby for 10 to 20 years so that that baby one day might be able to grow up eventually to be a fully functioning member of the human race? Do you reckon anything can beat that, really? I reckon that's pretty tough to try and beat, being a mother, because of the importance of it. But do mums get paid for all of the work that they do? I can see a lot of mums here shaking their heads. They normally don't get paid for all that hard work, do they? In fact, it actually costs them money. It costs them money to be a mother. It costs them money in lost opportunities, in paid employment, not to mention the financial, physical, and emotional costs that mothers pay in raising their children. So, those two examples about God and his work and mums and their work, I think that just goes to show us that we shouldn't make the mistake of thinking that work is defined by income. Unpaid work is work just as much as paid work is work. And in fact, when we look at things closely, often it's the unpaid work that is more important for the welfare of society. So if work isn't defined by income, how are we to understand what work is? Well, this is where Psalm 28, verses 3 to 5, can help us. Psalm 28 is a prayer of David in which he gives thanks to God for saving him. In verses 3 to 5, we hear David praying to God for salvation, and his words here are interesting from the perspective of work. Now, he prays to God. He says, "Don't drag me off with the wicked, with the workers of evil, who speak peace with their neighbours while evil is in their hearts." And he also prays that God's justice might be done. He says, "Give them according to their work and according to the evil of their deeds. Give to them according to the work of their hands. Render them their due reward, because they don't regard the works of the Lord or the work of his hands. He will tear them down and build them up no more." Now just notice the kinds of work that David mentions in these verses. In verse 3, he talks about the workers of evil, those who do evil deeds. We can see here that the biblical concept of work has a spiritual dimension to it. There's good and evil in terms of what we can do. Human work includes doing good or doing evil, whatever the case may be. So here we can see that work is basically anything we do. So if what we do isn't directed by God, we'll end up like the people that were causing trouble for King David. We'll be workers of evil. Now in verse 4, notice there how there is a payment as well for all work that is done. Now sometimes we think that there's paid work and unpaid work. We tend to value the paid work more than the unpaid work because we're getting money for that. But notice how on a spiritual level, as far as God is concerned, all work is paid for. Now David understood that God's justice will render to everyone according to their work. Everyone will be paid according to their deeds. Now, this is an interesting principle to take on board. In fact, it's something that we see is a principle taught not just in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament as well. For example, Jesus, in the parable of the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25, distinguishes the sheep from the goats. Well, who are the sheep? Well, the sheep are those who do good to Jesus and his disciples, whereas the goats are those who don't do good to Jesus and his disciples. And Jesus says to the sheep, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." But to the goats, there's a different payment, isn't there? Jesus says to them, "Depart from me, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." The goats will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The same principle of judgment on the basis of works was also taught by the Apostle Paul. A good example is in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 9 and 10, where Paul says, "So whether we're at home or away, we make it our aim to please God. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." Now at this point, we need to make sure that we don't confuse the biblical teaching about judgment according to works with the traditional Protestant bogeyman of justification by works. Now, when a lot of Protestants think about justification by works, what they have in mind is the false idea that we can somehow save ourselves by being good. It's kind of self-justification by doing good things, and hopefully God will be pleased by that. Now, that's a false idea. No one can be good in and of themselves from a spiritual perspective. But when we're talking about judgment according to works here, which we'll see the application of on the day of judgment, that is something different. We shouldn't confuse it with that false idea of self-justification by works. Judgment according to works is simply the outworking of God's justice in history. It's the outworking of God's justice in relation to the working of God's Spirit in the lives of individual Christians. Now, if God is at work in his people through the power of his Spirit to enable them to live and to work for him, then on the day of judgment, he will acknowledge the work of his Spirit in our lives. God is at work in the lives of those in whom he has sent his Spirit. And through the power of his Spirit, he transforms us to be able to walk in the way of righteousness, is the biblical language, which is the way of eternal life and blessing. So just keep that in mind. All work will have a payment attached to it. We need to have the bigger picture of what work is. So overall, what I want us to understand is that ultimately, work is everything that you do. Work is everything that a person does, and everyone will be paid for the work that he or she does, whether good or bad. Now, I'll point this out to you because often when we think of work, we don't think of the bigger picture, do we? Normally, most people, when they think about work, they just think, my work is my job, and I do my job basically for the money. Don't fall into the trap of defining work by the dollar value that's attached to it. We shouldn't get caught up on how much we're getting paid or not being paid. We shouldn't be letting that determine what work is. Because from God's perspective, your work is everything you do in life, and God will pay you a wage commensurate with the true value of your work. So when thinking about work, don't just reduce it down to the job that you do for income. Now, the law in Australia specifies that full-time work, at the maximum, should be about 38 hours per week. That seems like a fair bit, doesn't it? 38 hours per week. If you had to do that every week, week in, week out, for most of the year. But in reality, anyone want to do the maths? 38 hours per week, well, it's only 22.6% of the total number of hours that exist in a week. When you're out working all the time, it seems like a lot, doesn't it? It takes up most of your day. But it's not the majority of your time. Now, sure, at times, you'll perhaps work more hours than you should, or you'll work 6 days a week instead of five. Perhaps you might be doing overtime. There's also the time spent travelling from work and back, which at times can be quite significant. But remember, there's much more to life and work than just your day job. Now, consistent with this big definition of what constitutes work, notice the explanation that David has in Psalm 28, verse 5, for why bad or evil work exists in the world. Evil work stems from a failure of people to pay attention to or to understand the ultimate example of work. Now, can anyone see there in verse 5 what work is mentioned in that particular verse? The deeds of the Lord? Yeah, it's either the works of the Lord or the deeds of the Lord. Yeah, he mentions the works of the Lord and the works of God's hand. A little bit like back at the beginning when I asked you the question, what's the most important work in the universe? Now here we see the expression, the work of someone's hand, in particular of God's hand here, but that language is quite common throughout the Old Testament. The works of someone's hands. Is there any work that we do that doesn't involve our hands somehow? Well, God in and of himself, he's a spiritual being, so he doesn't physically have hands. But the Bible speaks of the things that God does as being the works of his hands. He gets involved. He does things. And verse 5 is significant here because it helps us to see that when humans lose sight of God's work, human work becomes evil work. It's only as we pay attention and seek to understand God's work that we will work in the right way. Now think about the traditional 6 days work, 1 day's rest pattern that we see in the Bible. Where did that pattern begin? It began with God, right? He worked for 6 days, creating and ordering the world, and then rested on the seventh day. And that's there in the Bible to help us to see that our working week should be patterned after God's working week. God is the model for how we should work. So if we're not looking to God and learning from him, then our work will be evil work. That's what David is telling us here. We need to be paying attention to how God works and imitating him in what we do. As we pay attention to how God works, then we'll come to understand what work is and how it should be valued. Not in dollars and cents, but from God's eternal perspective. In conclusion then, work is everything we do. But it's only as we model our work on God's work that our work will have positive value eternally.